Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager with Mr. Tubbs. Some of you may not know Mr. Tubbs. He's our newest addition. He, too, is a bulldog. Nothing could replace Otto, but Mr. Tubbs is a winner. We got the name, actually, from the people who bred him in Pennsylvania, in Mennonite country. It was hard to find, and we found Mr. Tubbs. They gave him the name because his dad was Mr. Chubbs. And we fell in love with the name, Mr. Tubbs. So here he is, and hopefully you will be seeing him next to me for many, many years at Fireside Chats. This is chat number 291. We are 300 minus 9. I think that's a big deal, you know? I'm very excited about that. So today begins LGBTQIA plus Pride Month. Is that right? Pride Month? Oh, wow, a whole month. So a few words about this. I don't understand. No, I take that back. It's actually not a meaningful phrase. That's better. I do understand why it's being done, and I'll explain my explanation momentarily. But let me talk to you for a moment about the notion of group pride. What does that mean? And it's never been clear to me. I wrote a column on this. I hope you'll look it up. I wrote it last week, and it's available on my website and many others, Daily Wire, American Greatness, PJ Media, Town Hall. And it's my weekly column, and I wrote it about this notion. So I tell the story that when I was bar mitzvah, so meaning, of course, when I was 13, I got a gift. One of the gifts was, or I got many gifts. One of the gifts was a book called something to the effect, Great Jews in Sports. And I also remember this, which is very interesting, given how deeply Jewish my upbringing was. I went to religious Jewish school every day called the yeshiva. I went to a Jewish camp. My family was Jewish. My friends were Jewish. And I lived in a Jewish Italian neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York. But I didn't relate to the book. I thought, what difference does it make to me whether there were great Jews in sports? And that's an odd reaction because obviously the person who gave it to me thought it would be a meaningful gift. But I realized later that I never had in me groupthink. I believed in the great American ideal of the individual is sacrosanct. The group is important, but that I don't believe in groupthink. Let me make something clear. There are only two groups, the decent and the indecent. I don't divide the world between straight and gay, between Jew and non-Jew, between American and non-American, between black and white. I only divide it between the decent and the indecent, and it's not my phrase. A Jew who went through the Holocaust, and who has, of course, since passed, of course I say because the Holocaust was a long time ago, name was Viktor Frankl, F-R-A-N-K-L. He wrote a book about his experiences in a Nazi concentration camp. He was an Austrian Jewish psychoanalyst. He wrote a book that is one of the 10 books that most, in fact, one of the 5 books. After the Bible, it's up there with the book that has most influenced me. It's a very short book. I read it in high school, Man's Search for Meaning. It's a very famous book. It's a classic. He, relatives of his, I think his wife, his beloved wife, was murdered by the Nazis. And he was asked after the war the following question. Do you hate the German race? That's the way they put it in those days. Today they would say the Germans or the German nation. Do you hate the German race? And his answer in his book was no. There are only two races, the decent and the indecent. If I had to give a motto of my life, that is my motto. That is how I divide the world. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're Christian. I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care about anything. like I care about, are you a good person? By the way, it's not easy to be a good person. That's a major, it's the greatest achievement you can acquire. I wish there was a Goodness Pride Month in America. We have all these groups, but what is the pride? I don't even understand it. Let us say you're black. You have black pride, but you didn't do anything. You were born black. You have white pride. Of course, you have white pride. You're considered evil. But whatever your group, I don't, you know, let's say you're gay. What is the pride? I mean, answer me in a rational manner. The whole point of gay liberation was that a person doesn't really have a choice. Okay, I bought that. I understand that. So how could you have pride in something you didn't choose? It's like, so I'm tall, I'm 6'4". Do I have tall pride? No, I did nothing to earn it. That's my genetic makeup, is to be tall. I'm not proud of it. It's the whole thing, it must mean something else. And I'll tell you what it means. The real meaning of all of this is that the society must celebrate lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgendered, and queer, etc. Not just tolerate. That's the liberal idea. The left-wing idea is you must celebrate. But I don't celebrate. I don't celebrate men who transition to women or women who transition to men. I accept the fact that they wish to do so. I understand that. I will treat them as another creature. Wow. I think he needs another Chewy. Oh, no, he doesn't. He's somewhat of a live wire hour, Mr. Tubbs, I got to say. Anyway, also, he could be reacting to what I said. There's no way of really knowing. This is very serious sound effects, I must say. Okay, feller. Yes, sir. Okay, don't eat it so fast and you won't choke. All right. What is going on here is, and it's imposing on society that you must celebrate all of these things. There's a big difference between treating people decently, which is a moral demand. I totally assent to it. But I'm not prepared to celebrate it. I think it's a tragedy if you're a male who thinks you're a female, or you're a female who thinks you're a male. It's a tragedy. Doesn't mean we don't love you. It doesn't mean we mistreat you. But I don't celebrate it. Who would deny that it is best to be comfortable with the sex that you are? I mean, we're being asked to affirm something that isn't true. If you're a male, you're a male. If you identify as a female and you present as a female, you look like a female, you have a female name, you dress like a female, and you don't have a beard, you present female, then I'm assuming you're a female, and I'll call you ma'am if you're my waitress. I understand that. But I'm not going to celebrate it, especially with young people. You're 8 years old and you say you're the other sex. You're 12 years old, you say you're the other sex. You're 17 or 18 and you have your breasts cut off because you think you're a boy. And I'm supposed to celebrate that? We're supposed to have a pride day for your breasts having been removed? So I'm sorry, I don't join the Pride Month. By the way, I don't want any Pride Months. I don't want a Jewish Pride Month. I don't want a Black Pride Month. I don't want a Hispanic Pride Month. I don't believe in it. As I said, the only division that matters is the character division. Are you decent or indecent? But there is no moral quality to this. And by the way, it's not even true. Those who celebrate blacks for Black Pride Month or whatever, or Black History Month, they don't celebrate black conservatives. So it's not even true. It's the whole thing is just a promotion of left-wing values. Because if you don't share a left-wing value, you're not a feminist. Gloria Steinem, one of the best-known feminists of the last 50 years, said that a female senator from Texas who was conservative, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, she said she what would she say? She something to the effect of she's a pretend woman because she was conservative. She wasn't really a woman. Didn't Larry Elder get that? Larry Elder was called by a Los Angeles Times columnist the black face of white supremacy. So it's not really, it's not even black pride. It's black liberals or black leftists' pride. It's, do they celebrate gay conservatives in LGBTQIA Pride Month? Of course not. They hate Dave Rubin. So anyway, so much for the pride stuff. I think that should all of it should be abolished. I celebrate good people, period. That's the only division that matters. In light of the subject, I'd like you to know that PragerU is releasing, or has released, in fact, Unwoke Inc. It is about what has happened in the corporate world that has embraced the truly woke policies of the left and why they have done it. It's an important short documentary. Please watch it at PragerU.com or through the Prager app. All right. Anyway, now it's time for your questions. And here we go. The famous arm.
Hi, Dennis Prager. My name's Ethan. I'm 23 from New Zealand. Thanks for letting me ask this question. And we met once before in the International Prager Force Retreat a couple of years back. And on that trip, I asked you, what's the most important thing a young person can do, in which you said to get married? Because no matter what happens, you'll come out more mature. Recently, I've just become engaged, so props to me, really stoked about that. And a recent sort of quote has been going around that conservatives, one man's opinion, is conservatives should have more kids than they can afford, get a job they're not quite qualified for, and if the establishment wins, so be it. My question is, what do you think about that? What else should a young man do, a young conservative man do, to help better themselves? I'd love to love to hear. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to the answer.
All right. Okay, so if I understand you correctly, what should a man with conservative principles and did he mention whether he's religious or not?
He didn't mention.
I think a man with conservative, certainly religious principles, should get married. And as regards how many children you have, it's not for me to tell anybody that. However, if you're wondering, should that be a focus of your life or the focus of your life, for a man, I think taking care of a family should be the focus of his life. But that means that you have to have a job. I mean, if you can do it. Now, there are times where the wife makes so much more money that the man takes care of the home. And I understand that totally. But I know a family, I think they have 13 children. It's a Christian family. And the mother has taken care full-time of the family, which obviously is a major project with that many kids in it. And the father has not earned a particularly large amount of money. He's a college teacher, and he makes whatever a college teacher, at least in the, what is it called again? Not the four-year colleges, community college. He's a community college teacher. They don't make a particularly large sum of money, but they have been able to do it because that's what they wanted to do. Everything in life is a matter of values. If you value a large family, then the amount of money you make will not be determinative. And if you don't want a large family and you make $1 million a year, you're still not going to have a large family. So I it sounds right that, oh, well, we don't make enough money to support. It depends on what you want to do with your life. Okay. Let's go to the next. Andrea in Marietta, Ohio. Hi, Dennis. I am getting married on June 10th. Congratulations. We are both Catholic and having a full nuptial mass. I am still receiving pushback from my parents about having a Catholic wedding. I converted to Catholicism from the Church of Christ in 2018, and they still have not accepted that. I've tried to have civil and deep discussions with them several times about why I joined the Catholic Church, and even used my even more honed apologetic skills to no avail. Any thoughtful advice on how to handle this besides being patient? This has nothing to do with the man I am marrying or our children, etc. It just has to do with the wedding itself. Thank you. Well, I have sympathy for both you and your parents. Parents whose children convert to another religion, I mean, it's both Christian, so it's not quite as dramatic as, let's say, you had dropped religion altogether and wanted a justice of the peace, or if you'd become a Jewish or even Muslim. So it's at least both Christians. I mean, that's not a negligible factor here. But I understand, nevertheless, that they're not Catholic, and they're in a Protestant denomination, and I fully appreciate that fact. What you might want to do, and I have seen this done, is ask the priest who will be officiating whether or not it would be okay with him if a Protestant pastor that your parents would choose would co-officiate with you. Now, I don't know if a Protestant pastor would co-officiate at a Catholic wedding, so this may be a non-starter, but I have seen it happen. And that, I think, could add an element of familiarity and comfort for your parents. But I do want you to, and you sound like you do, have sympathy for their reaction. It's another example of life is tough. Life is messy, as I often put it. But with love and understanding and even asking them, so let me ask you, Mom and Dad, what might make you more comfortable? I know you won't be fully comfortable, but what might make you more comfortable? Okay, Mark, 26 years old, Maryland. Hi, Dennis. I'm one of your liberal listeners. Great. And really value your life advice. I think liberals are better on policy, but the right is better at living happy lives. It's an interesting distinction. The right is better at living happy lives. I don't think that the left is better at policy, but that's a separate issue. My wife and I are evangelical Christians and have been married for 1 year. Right now, we both feel neutral about having kids. This comes up so much, which is good. It's healthy. We do not feel strongly one way or the other. Should couples not have kids unless they really want them? How are couples supposed to feel before having kids? I have an answer for that. I want my parents to have grandchildren, but I don't know if we would be good parents if we're not enthusiastic about having kids. Thank you for your wisdom. Okay, so the number of people ready to have children is not large. And if they think they're ready, they're wrong. Because kids are so disruptive to life as you knew it before the kid, that if you really knew that, nobody would have kids. That's just the way it works. On a very real life note, I have a saying about children. That which was produced by passion then kills it. Those of you who understand what I said, understand it, and the rest, I'll leave it where it is. You'll understand that if you have children. It's exaggeration, of course, but there's enough truth to it for people to understand. Is it worth it? Of course it's worth it. You see, you know what people don't do today, or many don't? They don't think in terms of the future. I was very lucky. I thought even as a kid, how will I want to look back at my life when I'm old? I thought about that when I was 15. It's a very important question. So how do you want to look back at your life when you're old? Do you want to say, I wasn't burdened by children? Or, you know what, I have a few kids and it is the richest experience that a human being can have. And if you're lucky, the kids, at least one, turns out good and kind and loving to you and gives you grandchildren. And that's a big deal. What do you want to say when you reach old age? You want to say, I ate out as often as I wanted. I had sex more often than parents who have little kids, waking them up at 3 a.m. and they're dead tired every night. What do you want to say? That's a very important question. What will you want to say when you look back on your life? And certainly with regard to marriage itself, do you really want to go through life essentially alone? I know you have friends. It's a blessing in life. But in your home, you want to go back to a home? Look, I love dogs, as you can see. Dogs don't substitute for a spouse or children. Then it's not even close, to be honest. So you're not ready? Who's ready? Ask the question that I've just posed, though. What will you want to think and feel when you look back on your life? Sarah in Chelan, Washington, 39. Hi, Dennis and crew. My husband and I are avid travelers, only 40 countries, but our goal is to at least reach 100. I'm at 131. I throw that in no matter what. We put off having children, another one, because we love traveling so much and got caught up in that. But something you said on your podcast really stood out to me. You said, you may have a fun life, but you won't have a full life. That was a good line. I like my good lines. Without children. Well, in the last year, God brought a baby into our lives, and we have been working to adopt him ever since. The process has been painfully slow, but it's so worth it. He brings so much joy to our lives. Thank you for your wise words. Any other words of wisdom you can offer as we prepare to adopt our sweet son and officially become parents? I was right. You see? Exactly. She thought she was having the greatest life possible, and then poof, baby shows up. Yes, I have a word of advice. Have another one as soon as possible, because your child should have a sibling, if possible. I know a lot of only children, and they're terrific. But it's good to have a sibling, or two, or three. Rachel Brewster, Washington. What is this, Washington State Day? Dennis, thank you for what you do. Sorry about the loss of Otto. Thank you. I noticed that you have received a few messages lately asking you to help make romantic matches. No kidding. That's built into me. You should start your own dating service. I do. It's the Dennis Dating Service. Any single person who enters my life, I become a dating service. I have a wonderful 34-year-old cousin who has all but given up on finding someone. She is a Christian and one of the funniest, most joyous people I know. Please send someone out to Brewster, Washington, if they want to find a great catch. Hey, mate, you been to Brewster?
No.
I'm getting him a ticket to Brewster. Send your cousin's picture. I'm sorry, that's relevant. It's so like unpolitically correct to say that it matters. In real life, it matters. In heaven, it doesn't. But we don't live in heaven. We live on earth. Anyway, what does this give up? Okay, it's tough to find the right person. I agree. Anyway, I do believe, even though many people say they had some awful experiences on websites like Hinge and Bumble and, well, I don't know what else. Nevertheless, I know so many people who got married thanks to these services. And if you live in a small town, by definition, it's going to be limited, your choices. I assure you, knowing, so she's Christian, right? Yeah. She's a funny Christian. How's that? knowing a lot of men, Christian men, who say the exact same thing, I can't find a woman. So believe me, they are out there. Adam, 18 years old in Australia. Why don't you give me the city? Hi, Dennis. I'm in my first year of university here in Australia. I'm studying a Bachelor of Arts and Psychology. I plan to take a gender studies class next trimester just to defend the traditional Christian viewpoint. Can you give me some advice, please? Is this a good idea? Is it worth my time?
I love it.
Totally. I think it's awesome that you take a gender studies class. First of all, you need to know what people you don't agree with think. That's why, do you know that's the reason that in college I studied Russian? Because it was the Cold War and I wanted to know what the Soviets think. I studied Russian to read Soviet newspapers. That was the reason, not to read Dostoevsky, which is too complex for me in linguistically. And not even to just get along in conversation. I wanted to read what they said. So I read Pravda, the Soviet Communist newspaper, regularly. I think it's very important to know what others think. I wish people on the left felt the same way. And they would start reading us or listening to us or watching us as much as we read, watch, and listen to them. And when you're in that class, what you do is... The last thing you should say is, as a Christian, I believe. You're going to turn them off. Just, you are a fellow human being in that class, just raising questions. Like, how can we argue, given that we know that men and women have different brains, how can we argue that you could become the other sex? You get a brain transplant. I understand you could remove your breasts. You could even remove your penis. But can you remove your brain? And so ask only, and in the nicest way possible, logical questions. If you preface it with as a Christian or as a whatever, then they'll assume that your question only comes from your Christianity. It doesn't come from a universal reason. That's why I call my Bible commentary the Rational Bible. Because I'm using reason alone to explain the Bible. That's why it doesn't matter if you're religious or not religious or what your religion is. I want to make the case for these values and the wisdom of that book, of those books. So let me know what happens. And by the way, you may find you can't answer some of the questions. Let me know. I think I can help you in that way. Well, everybody, thanks for being with me. I'm Dennis Prager. This is the Fireside Chat. See you next week.
Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.